Welcome to Inside ProMedica, your path to wellness. Brought to you by ProMedica Charles and Virginia Hickman Hospital, where your health is our mission. Each month, we bring you insights from leading medical experts, the latest advancements in care, and essential health tips to keep you and your family well. Let's get started.
This is Kathy Williams, and on tonight's program, I have Dr. Amy Hammond, and she is a pediatrician with the Charles and Virginia Hickman Hospital here in Adrian. Dr. Hammond, thanks for taking time out of your day to talk with us.
I'm happy to do it.
We're going to talk about pediatrics, you know, in kids. So as a pediatrician, what age do you concentrate on, I guess?
We take care of kids from birth till age 18.
Okay. And are you right in the hospital then at birth time or right after the birth time?
If there's any reason for us to be called to the delivery, then we are there at the time of delivery. Otherwise, we check on the babies usually the next day after they were born.
Gotcha. Are you in charge of the circumcisions then?
I used to do those. Now we've handed that over to the obstetricians.
Oh, there you go. Somebody else has to do it. Okay. Don't cause pain, right?
That's right. First do no harm. That's what they teach us.
Exactly. So how long have you been here at Hickman?
I came back here in 2016.
Okay. And so you're from the area then?
Yes. Yeah. I was born at Bixby Hospital.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, yes. I was born at Bixby, graduated from Tecumseh High School.
Okay.
And then went away for college, came back to University of Michigan for medical school and my residency. Had a couple jobs before being here, but I've been working with Adrian Pediatrics since 2016.
Oh, great. So I know there's always a lot of questions involved around our children and the whole immunization system. Can you help our listeners understand what's the overall importance and how do they maintain overall good health, actually, for their children?
Yes, yeah. Vaccines are certainly a big part of what I do in helping kids stay healthy. We start those, you know, pretty much right after birth. They're recommended to get their first hepatitis B vaccine in the hospital. Kids receive most of their vaccines by age 18 months.
Okay.
We have a couple booster doses age, and I think this is a great time to do this. Back to school is a good time. You know, we're all thinking about school supplies and clothes. Take a little inventory of your child's health and things that you can do to help make this a healthier school year for them.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping up to date on your vaccines is one way to do that. 4-year-olds are recommended to get some booster vaccines, so usually they've certainly received those before kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 injections. One includes the MMR, which is measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella, which is the chickenpox vaccine. So those are together in one injection.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is DTP, which is diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and polio. So I always remind parents, these are all things they had back at that, you know, baby stage where you're going all the time. yeah, but the immunity doesn't always last for a lot of these for your whole lifetime. So
right.
We need those. And I'd like to point out the DTP, or kids when they're older, it's called Tdap.
Okay.
That P part gets forgotten, but that stands for pertussis, which
that's
is what we call.
Cough,
yeah,
right?
That's
okay.
What we call whooping cough, exactly. Yeah. And last fall, we had an outbreak of whooping cough here in Lenawee County.
So scary.
In my over 20 years of practicing, that's really the first time I've seen that. Huh. And the couple kids that I personally had test positive in my office were a 10 and 11-year-old, which is when they're due to get that Tdap.
Okay.
So these were fully immunized kids, but it pointed out to me and reminded me even as a physician that that immunity is not lifelong. So those kids, that their immunity started to wane, they got pertussis, and we were able to, you know, give them their vaccine and help with that. But, you know, you and I were just talking before, that's the one that they talk about grandparents receiving.
Right.
So this is an issue. When babies get pertussis or whooping cough, it can be dangerous.
Oh, my gosh.
It can be deadly. It can be in the ICU on a ventilator. Mm-hmm. I have seen babies get pertussis, and believe me, it's scary.
Yeah.
So they want the moms, the parents, but we started to learn that where these babies were catching it sometimes was their grandparents, who hadn't probably been vaccinated for decades.
Right, right.
Or sometimes even their teenage babysitter.
Okay.
So that's kind of what was found out over the last few decades and why they recommend that grandparents get that Tdap booster if they're able to. Of course, they'd want to discuss that with their doctor. But we give that, you know, again, that's part of those 4-year-old vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the 11-year-olds are also due for vaccines, which include that Tdap and a meningitis vaccine. That one's one they've never received before.
Okay.
But as they're getting into those older ages, playing more sports or theater or band or just grouping together with their friends,
right.
that slightly increases the risk of getting meningitis, which is this type helps prevent bacterial meningitis.
Okay.
Which is a bacterial infection of your brain or your spinal cord. Thankfully, very rare, but if they were to get it, it can be very serious or deadly. So we really recommend that one as well.
Well, a lot of it has to do with washing your hands and stuff really just can eliminate a lot of this.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, if there's one thing I could tell parents, I guess, at back to school time is that hand washing.
Yeah.
We all kind of learned back at COVID time, you're supposed to do warm water, antibacterial, 30 seconds, singing a song.
Sing your alphabet.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sometimes that's hard to get your kids to do. So.
Right.
Everybody has their own ideas, but I personally am a big fan of hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
My daughter, if your child is old enough and responsible enough to handle their own hand sanitizer, I would put it in their lunchbox or their backpack.
Yeah.
My daughter always has it in her lunchbox so she can wash her hands before she eats.
There you go.
It's just a hot pump.
I mean, it's easy.
Yep. And kids always have their hands in their mouth, their eyes, rubbing their, in their nose. And that's a big spread of germs. So if they could wash their hands before lunch and maybe even when they get in the car, when you pick them up before they dive into that snack, that would really help maintain their health as well.
Well, and aside from vaccines and such, though, the whole dietary struggle that we all have with our kids is insurmountable, I think, sometimes of the struggle of what to eat, what not to eat. How do we help them stay healthier and active?
Yeah. And I think like you said, it's just gotten harder and harder. I mean, kids and families are so busy now that sometimes it's a limit of time. I mean, I listen to parents and all the sporting events they go to, or the kids sometimes, high schoolers have jobs and school. And the time that everybody used to sit together and eat dinner is not always happening anymore.
Oh,
there's a lot more takeout and fast food. So, limiting that when you can. Mm-hmm. Trying to make sure your kids get breakfast, something before they head out the door. I mean, we would love it for it to be cereal or a yogurt and some fruit. Sometimes that's just not obtainable for families. So grab a granola bar, grab a cheese stick, peanut butter crackers, something to kind of fuel their little bodies and get them helping, paying attention and performing better in school.
Well, and some cereals are good without milk.
You
can put them in a Ziploc bag and just, stick it in their backpack, like you said.
Eat it in the car or on the bus if they allow that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times parents will ask me, what vitamin do I recommend? I have a picky eater. What can I get? And my answer is always, a couple things to look for, but whatever your kid will eat or take, So there's chewables. There's a lot of gummy vitamins now that kids are a little bit more excited about. Obviously, if you have an older kid that can swallow a pill, that's great too. Mm-hmm. But you're really looking, as far as for immune support, that vitamin C, D, E, zinc. Mm-hmm. Some supplements contain elderberry. There's some studies on that being helpful. And, the healthy diet, sometimes supplemented with that vitamin, is not bad through the winter to help that immune system.
Well, and some of those vitamins even help with mood.
Yes.
D, I know, is a big one for mood swings.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I think everybody in the state of Michigan has a low vitamin D level.
I don't
so
doubt
you are
it.
Not going to hurt your kid by
don't
giving
have
them some
sunshine.
Vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And magnesium. We're doing more and more looking at magnesium as a calming effect for some kids that need that in the morning or nighttime.
Well, there you go. That sounds good, too. So any new surprises going on in pediatrics? I know they brought back the President's Fitness Challenge.
Yeah,
that should be interesting.
I heard that. Yeah, anything to get kids more active would really be helpful. Cutting down on screen time, getting some more activity any way we can would be great. Oh, there's so many things as far as new gene therapies, new treatments for childhood cancers. Diabetes is one that I've really seen change in my 20 years. Now kids with pumps and better monitoring, that has been life-changing. I thought of one this summer. I've had a couple kids test positive for Lyme disease in my office.
Wow.
And we've all kind of heard about it, but really, when I trained, it was kind of something that was happening in the
rural,
East Coast.
Real.
Yeah, or somewhere. Yeah. But now, for sure, there are Lyme disease cases in every county of Michigan. So, not something to freak out about, but if you live in a wooded area or you're camping or you've got kids that are always playing in the woods, kind of being preventative, an insect repellent. It's 20% to 30% DEET.
Okay.
Or if you don't like that, or your kids will wear protective clothing, hats, long sleeves, tuck the pants into the socks, and do a little check of the skin and the scalp when they get back inside.
Even for yourself and your golfing friends, when you go after that ball, you shouldn't have went after.
Yes. Yeah.
You get that tall grass and
who knows? Yep. And that would be helpful.
So, Doctor, how can our listeners find out more about you or reach out with any questions they might have? Find out more about your practice.
Well, like I said, I work at Adrian Pediatrics with ProMedica. Mm-hmm. And there's another pediatrician with myself, Dr. Rafik. We also have two fabulous nurse practitioners, Angela Ford and Heather Lefevre.
Okay.
So we're all there to see new patients and follow up with kids. You can call our office. It's 517-366-5010.
Okay.
And we would be happy to discuss any issues or questions that parents have.
There you go. Thanks so much, Dr. Hammond. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you.
That's it for this edition of Inside ProMedica, your path to wellness. We hope you've gained valuable insight into the exceptional care and services available at ProMedica Charleston, Virginia Hickman Hospital. For more information or to connect with our healthcare team, visit ProMedica.org/Hickman. Take care, stay well, and join us again on the last Tuesday of each month at 6:20 p.m. for another edition of Inside ProMedica, your path to wellness. You can also listen to these programs as podcasts anytime under the On Air Audio tab at WLEN.com.